up, guys? Welcome into another episode of Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Well, we wrapped up the regular season. Warriors finished in 10th place, finishing in the play-in seeding at a record of 46-36. Better than last year in terms of record, but in terms of standings, well, the West was a little deeper this year. So we play in the 10th seed, but we still face a familiar foe, facing off against the Sacramento Kings in a winner-takes-all elimination game to move on to the second round of the play-in, with a chance to play either the Pelicans or the Lakers would be on the road to advance into the postseason playoffs. Well, today we're actually just going to take a look at the preview of the Kings game. So Warriors play tomorrow, Tuesday, at the Golden 1 Center in Sacramento. Take a nice drive, nice to be able to avoid a flight, but nevertheless, on the road, where it will be a very, very tough environment. But I think we've seen all this year, if there's one thing that's been very consistent with the Warriors, has been that road effort and facing adversity, to which I say bring on the challenge of going on the road, bring on the hostility. It just locks in the Warriors a little bit more. And I honestly think we see the best version of this Warriors team when they're facing an uphill battle and have the odds stacked against them. Well, before we get into the preview, just a little shout out, Captain Clay. Well, you can put up one finger this time because you are number one in free throw percentage in the league. You beat out Steph Curry by getting just enough free throws. I think he needed 125 attempts from the free throw line to qualify. He got five attempts to put him at 127 in the last game against the Jazz. So he qualifies, and at 92.7% on the season, he wins his first free throw championship. Interestingly enough, Steph Curry, who has won four times in the past, has not won since 2018. I took a look back through it. Tell me what stands out amongst this list. We're going to go back the last 7 years since Steph last won, dating from this year. So Klay won it this past year. Tyler Hero the year before. And then going back, Jordan Poole, Chris Paul, Brad Wanamaker with the Celtics, Malcolm Brogdon, and then Steph Curry in 2018. What stands out to me is that we have five either current or former Warriors on that list. So as infrequently as the Warriors get to the line with their players, they have had some good free throw shooters in the past. A few years before that, Kevin Durant also won a free throw championship with the Thunder. All right, well, going back, we're going to take a look at just kind of past history with the Kings, starting more so with the recap from this year. I know it's fresh in some people's minds because there were some traumatic memories from some of these games against the Kings, but we played three of the games against the Kings in the first month of the season. So game one, which was the second game of the year back in October, Dubs, basically after kicking the Kings' butt out of the playoffs last year and then all throughout the preseason, continued that dominance with our little brother Kings. Dubs win by 8. Curry had 41 in that game. De'Aaron Fox had 39. In game two, which is, I believe, only like a week later, if that, Dubs trailed by 13 heading into the fourth quarter, but Curry has a huge fourth quarter, including a three over De'Aaron Fox, basically at the buzzer to win by one. If you remember, Curry just kind of caught it, one dribble to his right, pulls up in Fox's face and buries it, which is the start of his campaign to clutch player of the year, which I fully believe he will win this year due to his performances in the clutch. So Dubs won that game by one. Then a couple of weeks later in the in-season tournament in Sacramento, I think it was in November, Kings come back from 24 points down. Dubs, everything fell apart, and this is towards the beginning of what would be a common season-long trend of the Warriors blowing huge leads. Warriors blow a 24-point lead. The wheels fall off. Malik Monk banks in a elbow fall-away. I guess it was the game winner at that point before. I think Steph Curry had a chance, settled for a deep three down one, and came up short off the front rim. Could have got a better shot. Again, another theme to the season is settling for threes in tie or down one situations with time running out. Anyways, Kings win that one by one. And then fast forward to January 25th, Harry Barnes, career high 39 points. It was just one of those games. Fox dropped in 29. a barn burner of a game. The Kings end up winning 134 to 133. Steph Curry had a chance to win it at the end, but ended up turning the ball over. Kuminga had 31 in that game. Curry had 33. Common trend is, well, basically the Kings and the Warriors are pretty darn even. Very often it's come down to the last shot, and very often it's been in the hands of Steph Curry, which you will live with. The only difference now, going looking back at that, and also the past playoffs last year, which we won't get into too much, but the only difference is now Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter are out with injuries, which is a huge blow to the Kings. I believe they're like 4-7 since they've both been out. Yeah, I'd have to check that. But the Kings have not been good. They've basically been in a free fall since those injuries to end the season. So this is not quite the same Kings team. Okay, so that's a little recap of this year. My keys for this matchup, and all this with a grain of salt because it is just a one game, and anything can happen in a game. There's good games, there's bad games. Everyone, there's shots that miss by inches, game of inches, so much margin for error. But these are my keys to this performance. Number one is Gary Payton II going to play? Basically, our best De'Aaron Fox stopper and the complement with Andrew Wiggins. They kind of alternate a little bit, but very, very important to have Gary Payton available for this one to hound Fox and slow him and just make him work a bit. Fox is going to carry the load. He's going to do everything for this team, especially when they're missing on Malik Monk with that second unit. So I expect Fox to have the ball in his hands the entire game. In our season matchups, Fox averaged 33 points per game. Last playoff series, he averaged 27-7. And if you remember, he broke his thumb on his shooting hand, and he was killing us before that, before he was slowed by injury. So hopefully, GP2, you can be our form of slowing down De'Aaron Fox tonight. Excuse me, tomorrow night. Second, well, this is always the most important thing for the Warriors. How is Steph Curry going to play? Usually, you can just chalk it up. He's dropping 30 plus, but he's been a little off lately. He's looked tired. He had a little ankle tweak last week, which everyone says he's fine, but definitely doesn't help. So what will Steph's performance be like? We've seen Steph really doesn't struggle too much with the Kings. The Kings have not done a good job defending Steph. This year, he averaged 31 points a game against them. In the playoffs last year, he averaged 34 points per game, including a 50 burger in game 7. And this regular season, Curry's shooting percentages were 53% from the field against the Kings on almost 46% from three, and he did not miss from the line. So, Steph, we'll see what your performance is. You're going to get some combination of De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, and whoever else is switched on to you. So, can you continue to work and abuse those matchups while also not putting too much wear and tear on your legs heading into hopefully more playoff games? Another common theme for the Warriors, just in general, how are the wings going to play? It's a wing league in the NBA these days, and the wings have been very inconsistent for the Warriors all season long, but they have all shown glimpses of greatness. Jonathan Kuminga obviously had a good breakout season, but he has really cooled off, and he's been a little slowed by knee tendonitis, and I think he had, was it a groin, or I don't know what he had recently, but he's missed some time. Hopefully, he can get that explosiveness back and be healthy heading into the postseason and just be aggressive. And he cannot disappear like Steve Kerr made him vanish in the last postseason by not playing him. But Kuminga needs to earn those minutes still, just as everyone does. He needs to show he can play the right form of basketball and not force it, and get back to what he was doing when he went on the best stretch of his career in January and February. Wiggins, well, he against the Kings has done very well. He's shot 57% from the field this season. I think he averaged about 17 points against the Kings. He has really come on as of late. His shooting has been great, especially from three. His defense has been phenomenal lately. I believe his defensive rating has been down like 4 or 5 points per 100 possessions in the past month or so compared to his season averages. And Klay Thompson is playing as well as we've seen him play in recent years. He, again, had a huge game against the Jazz in a game that didn't really matter, but just shows that he's still shooting well. He's running hot. We need him to continue to put up big games, but also just have a higher floor. We can't have any of these single digit or 12 point games out of Klay, particularly tomorrow night. We need Klay to just be a solid 17, 18 points with the potential for much more. Well, the number one use for having Kevon Looney on the team is for the Sabonis matchup. He is the Sabonis slayer. Looney will get some minutes in this one, even though he's really been out of the rotation lately. He will play in this one against Sabonis. He probably won't start. I think we stick with the TJG, Draymond starting lineup in the front court. But Looney last year averaged 15 rebounds a game in the playoffs against the Kings. Against Sabonis, who was their rebounding champ last year, and I think he was probably this year as well. So if nothing else, Looney can rebound with Sabonis. Looney in this last calendar year against the Kings, so 12 games, is a combined plus 47 in those matchups. And that's after our last meeting, which in January, he was a minus 15. So something changed, didn't quite work, which gives a little concern, but the body of work is behind it. And the last dozen or so games, it's proven to be a winning formula. I'd like to see Looney play maybe two separate shifts of about 5 minutes, obviously against Sabonis when he's in, and just to kind of give us a different look. Let's see, two more things. So number one, Draymond Green. We're on Dre watch once again. Dre's playing great, but what kind of energy is there going to be due to a very rude welcoming by the Sacramento Kings fans? If you remember last year, the stomp on Sabonis' chest is a very weird energy all series with Draymond, especially on the road in Sacramento. He was heckled, he was booed, he was threatened in many ways with terrible language and who knows what else. He wasn't quite himself and didn't play with great energy, in my opinion, last playoffs. He only had 9 points per game, which was fine, but 6 rebounds, 8 assists, but not that impactful. I think we can see a lot more out of Draymond, who is truly typically at his best in the playoffs. And what is the impact of Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter being gone? They combined for 4 3-pointers a game. Monk was in the running for sixth man of the year, averaging, I think, 19 points per game last playoffs against the Warriors. He was a huge, huge factor in the series last year, and the Warriors really had trouble guarding Monk when him and Fox were both on the floor. So two just dribble drive creators. Without Monk there, it allows the Warriors to really kind of gear up and basically wall off Fox a little bit more. And also without Huerter spacing the floor quite as well, you can give a little bit more help. But we know that anybody can beat you when they take open threes, so we cannot overhelp another one of the Warriors' bad habits from this year. That all being said, the Kings still have Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox hits 3 threes a game. Can we prevent and defend the three-point line from really hurting us in this one? I think what the Warriors do well against the Kings is they don't overhelp on Sabonis, which a lot of teams do, and he just gets 5-6 assists a game, passing out to three-point shooters. Warriors can guard him with either Draymond or Looney pretty well. We'll see how TJD can fare in that matchup against Sabonis by himself or if he commands help. But nevertheless, we cannot let the Kings get moving from three. Well, at this point, I'm just going to give you my prediction here. So again, anything can happen in a one-game matchup. I personally think that the Warriors' bench unit and just the depth is going to be the difference here. I think the Kings are thin right now. We talked about Monk and Huerter being out. I don't know where the Kings are going to get enough playmaking and scoring when Fox is resting for 8 to 10 minutes of the game, maybe not even that much, knowing that it's a must win. I don't think Sabonis is enough if Fox is out to just run the offense through against this Warriors team. So where will the Kings find scoring from? I think the second unit has been the Warriors' consistent strength throughout the season, led by Chris Paul. I like the Chris Paul, Clay, Trace, Kuminga, and Podziemski lineup. It's been very good recently. Let's see if Kerr goes to that for a decent amount of minutes, and let's see how that lineup really can help separate what are very close starting fives between these teams and have just been back and forth over the past couple of years. So all that said, I think the Warriors are going to win a slightly lower scoring matchup than we typically see out of these teams. I think the defenses are going to really dig in, and we're going to just see a very slugfest. But it will be a Warriors win. I'm going to say 110 to 105. Not going to come down to the last possession. Warriors are going to keep a lead throughout this one. They're going to maintain that lead. Like we've seen a lot, the Warriors might give us a little scare after having a double-digit lead, and the Kings might cut it down. But I think the second unit and Steph Curry at the end will be enough to close out the Kings, end their season, and have the Warriors flying out to either the Lakers or the Pelicans for the second game of the playoff. So those are my predictions. We'll see what comes true, guys. At the very least, let's hope this is not the last time we're talking and the season's going. So I hope to see you guys after the game with smiles on our faces. Thank you guys for tuning in. Been a fun regular season. Now let's see what the boys got. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.